Welcome to the LifeCast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I know that, I'm not like a day behind. I know Christmas was yesterday, but our text that we're going to look at and make some reference to this morning is actually out of the Christmas account. And I'm not going to read all of it. You know, some of it's in Matthew's and some of it's in the Gospel of Luke also. Before we look at the scripture, and we're going to read it in just a little bit, I did something, and I went on the computer, and I did a little search for information. I said, you know, what are the top web searches right now here in the United States? Just, you know, not even around the world, but just here in the United States. What are the top web searches? And if you don't know what a web page or a website is, I know something you don't know. That's about as far as it goes with technology with me, though, I'll say that. Top searches, what people are searching on the computer and where they go and what websites they look at. The top searches, number one, by far, it more than doubles the one in second place. This is overall searches, by the way. This isn't just categorical searches. This is overall, all categories included. Number one search, Facebook. Big surprise, huh? How many of you will admit that you have a Facebook account? Whether you go there or not, you'll admit you have a Facebook account. Yeah, look at that. See, and it's a spectrum of ages, by the way. This isn't like, oh, that's that younger generation technological stuff. Some of us older people have one too. We just don't go there very often. I'll tell you what, when Facebook came out, whenever that was, I'll be honest with you, I thought, yeah, whatever. I don't have time for that. And eventually over the years, I finally opened an account for the second time. The first account, let me remind you, the first time I opened Facebook, I had it open less than 5 minutes. I opened an account. I had this invitation that came up on my screen from my wife and said, hey, can I be your friend on Facebook? And I thought about it. Not because of her, but I discovered that if I accept her as a friend, that all the hundreds of people who are in her friendship contact group now see me on her list. And I thought, that does not sound like fun. I will never keep up with hundreds and hundreds of people that I got to talk to every day because I didn't understand this whole Facebook thing. Still don't completely understand it. And so I never answered, and I just deleted my account. And she came upstairs. Well, aren't you going to accept me? I've been waiting. I said, I closed my account. Well, sometime later, and sometime this last year, I don't know if it was middle of summer, late summer, in a weak moment, I opened Facebook, provided a lot of humor for a lot of people. I didn't understand how it worked. I had lots of questions. I had three women in my house screaming at me on how to do it. It was crazy. It was wild. And still not sure how to use it all. I would go there every day for a little bit of time to try to keep up because I felt this obligation to keep up with all these people that wanted to ask me something or comment on my Facebook wall, my status. All of those kinds of verbiage, those things that you learn. And then I slowly got away from it, and sometimes it's been 4 weeks before I go back on it. Tony, you're nodding your head at me. You have a Facebook page, Tony? Yes, you do. Yeah, it's probably filled with wedding pictures still. But anyhow, so I learned to kind of like Facebook and then tolerate Facebook and thought, it's no big deal. And then this morning I learned that I hate Facebook again. Amen from a deacon in the back. Yeah, I hate it. Hate it. Because, you know, some people lack some discretion on what they put on there to your own embarrassment. I came into church this morning and had another deacon come up to me and say, "So, do you have them on?" I was like, "What are you talking about? I have them on." I heard on Facebook, I was like, "Whoa." My childhood hero was Batman. Okay? I know that you're like shocked, you people are offended, you're like, "In the pulpit, what are you doing?" Well, I'm just telling you a story. My childhood hero was Batman. My mom had to make me a cape and everything. I wore out the floor in the hallway running up and down, beating up the Penguin and the Riddler. You know, I mean, I just, Powie, Zappo, you know, all the little things that came up back when Batman was, I don't even know what that was. They had little animated things come up on the screen that, you know, every time they punched somebody. It was. Do you remember that? Any of you who were, you know, backslidden back then like me? Okay. That was my childhood hero, but I received some garments with the Batman on them. I'll just say garments. And the smart aleck deacon wanted to know if I had them on. And I said, "None of your business." So I hate Facebook again. My family having fun at my expense. But if you're a little bit lost or wonder what the garments are, let me just put it this way. You will not see them. So Facebook was number one in all-time web searches. Number two, which was even less than half, but it was ranked second compared to the score of Facebook, YouTube. And I don't really spend much time on YouTube, but it's little video clips of whatever you want to put up there pretty much. Third overall search. Ready for this? Do you know what the third one is? Overall, third, top? Lindsay Lohan. I was shocked at that, but not that I really know her well, but that just would not have been, you know. When you move to actors, the category of actors, top web searches, obviously Lindsay Lohan's number one, then there's Jennifer Goodwin, who is less than half of Lindsay, and she's in second, and Taylor Momsen. I don't even know who those people are. If I saw them, maybe I'd say, "Oh, that's who that is." But but number four, we'll include four. Usually you just do a top three, but I'd include a number four because, you know, they finally got to a man. Harrison Ford. But okay, calm down. You can tell who goes to his website. By the way, if you're looking for real estate in New York City, he has his apartment for sale. $16 million. So, you know, if you want to go. By the way, sports, Green Bay Packers didn't even make the top 20. And all you Viking fans, you didn't make it either. So, yeah, they clap, yeah. They've discovered that the top movers on the internet really are young stars, the up and coming. But I want you to know that among the Shakers, Diane Sawyer is still number one in that category. And by the way, you women who complain about the NFL, you know, and watching Sunday football and all this, and they're checking their scores, and they got fantasy football, and, well, and they're on the computer, and dee, 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 and doing all that stuff. Listen, I understand your complaint. and I have freedom to say this because that's just not where I spend my time, but I want you to know what outranked the NFL was Paula Deen. So you women, don't complain about the NFL time. Paula Deen made the list. If you don't know who Paula Deen is, she's a chef and has all kinds of products that you bought for Christmas. Top searches. That's the present. I want us to look at top searches of the past. I'm going to go back about 2,000 years. And the top search, they didn't have computers, we know that. Top searches of the day. Number one, overall, was Jesus. You had the labor force, shepherds, looking for him. You had the intelligent and the educated and the astronomers, the magi, they were looking for him. You had political leaders. You had Herod shaking in his palace sandals. He was looking for him. The Jewish nation, the Hebrews, they were looking for the Savior. Teachers of the law, the experts of the law, the religious community, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were all looking for the Christ, the Messiah. You find it in the Gospels. You find it in the Christmas story. I told you I'd read a text. It won't include all of them because I'm just going to read a portion of it. But in Matthew, you'll find that, you know, the visit of the wise men. We read it on Christmas Eve. You know, they say, you know, where is the one who was born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and we have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem was concerned and disturbed along with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests, the teachers of the law, he asked them, where is the Christ who is to be born? Where is it going to take place? They said, in Bethlehem in Judea, for this is what the prophet has written. And they read to him what the prophet had wrote. And then Herod called the wise men, the magi, secretly, of course. You know, the political arena, do things behind so they're not out front and get your way and do those kind of things that happen in many circles of political life. He sent them. He said, go find him. Make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I can go and worship him too. Right? Yeah, he's lying to him. He wanted, because he's the one that sends out the edict to have all male children to and under killed. Those who were in the womb. They didn't have ultrasounds, say, hey, line up, we'll find out if it's a boy or girl. You're pregnant? The womb was slain. They were searching. Everyone was searching. It was the top search of the past. We look at the top search of the past. We look at the top search of the present. Because the computers tell us what the top searches are. We've looked at the past. We've looked at the present. Now let's look at the personal. The past, the present, and the personal. What are you searching for? Saying, I'm not really searching for anything. You can find out what you're searching for. You can go to your computer and pull up history, if you haven't deleted it. It'll tell you what you're searching for. You can go to your checkbook, or if you have a credit card, and you can go over what you've purchased and where you spend your money. It'll tell you what you're searching for. You can go to your relationships, and you can evaluate them, and you can assess them, and you can even interview them. And all that information will tell you what your top searches are, what you're looking for, what is going to fulfill me, what's going to make me happy. How many of you, by the way, somewhere through life, as you searched and you got what you looked for and what you wanted, discovered afterwards that which you wanted so badly maybe wasn't so great? Do you ever find that out about anything? Yeah, some of you are raising your hands, some of you are just nodding, and some of you just say, I want to be invisible. I want you to know it's okay. Yeah. Our top searches. What are we looking for? Where do we spend our time? Where do we spend our energy? You know, the Bible talks about it in the Old Testament and in the New. It talks about it in Deuteronomy chapter 4. It talks about it in 1 Chronicles. It talks about it in Psalms and in Proverbs. It talks about it in the book of Matthew. It talks about it in Hebrews. It talks about it throughout the Scripture, Old and New Testament alike. It says, if you will seek me or search for me with all your heart, you will find me. Bible says, and it's in Proverbs, it says, I love those who love me, and those who search for me will find me. Isn't that a great verse? Because there's a promise from God to us. It says, if you really look for me, you're going to find me. It's not like God is hard to find or like he's hiding in the most difficult place. It's not like hide and seek with God. You know, when you're the one who's hiding, you always try to find the place where you won't be found. God's out in the open and he says, if you look for me, if you search for me, you're going to find me. I guess the question of the personal is, am I really looking for him? Am I really searching for him? Am I doing what it says in Matthew chapter 7 when it says, if you seek, you will find. Or in Matthew 6 where it says, seek ye first. First desire. First place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things that you're searching for. Hey, I know what you need and I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to show you because you're going to search for me and you're going to find me. Where is the top search for us personally? Are we searching for God? Are we looking for God? You know, do you remember growing up and your dad or mom gave you a task? You know, mine was, every so often above the normal chores, was, will you vacuum the basement? And our basement floor was painted. My dad painted that. And it had a little bit of a gloss to it, which means it was very slippery. So then they had area rugs around. And when you vacuumed at our house growing up, you didn't vacuum around the rugs. No. After you vacuumed the top of the rugs, then you removed, sorry to get in your way, Gina, removed the rug and then swept under, you know, vacuumed under it, all this kind of stuff. So I would get that job every once in a while amongst our other regular chores, and my dad had this big Craftsman red and black shop vac. Huge. I mean, it wasn't one of these little ones. It was one of the big dogs, you know. That was my dad. He just, you know, everything had to be big and powerful and strong and overkill. You do not want to be the tape and mutter after he's hung the sheetrock. There are there are screws every 2 inches. That is not an exaggeration. You know, overkill. We call him Overkill Bob. But that would be my job. And when I first started out, like any kid, you know, you kind of wanted to do a good job to make them happy, but you didn't want to, like, necessarily take all day to do this. So you hurried. You weren't real thorough, right? You weren't excited about it. It's not like I whistled while I vacuumed. And what I didn't realize the first time is that now my dad was going to inspect this. I just thought they'd say, oh, yeah, put the vacuum away. Great, thanks. You know, because I wasn't a parent. I didn't know. He was going to inspect this. I had to get the vacuum back out. Let's just put it that way. And then I learned that if I would just do it right the first time, it actually takes less time than to have to go back and correct what I missed or what I did wrong. So, you know, the whole saying of, hey, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. When you're young, that's like, yeah, whatever. I hope you're hearing this. They are, yeah. But, you know, my dad would use a phrase, and I'm going to modify it. He said, this is a half-hearted job. Okay? If you're not laughing, then God bless you. You know, you were talked to differently. That's when I was young. My dad is, you know, changed. The Lord has changed him. His faith in God has transformed a lot of his life. But half-hearted. And I look at the scripture and it says, if you will search God and look for him with your whole heart, not half-hearted. Half-hearted. And I wonder sometimes, Randy, you know, and then as I wonder, when I say I wonder, it's not like wonder because I don't know. It's I ask the question and I quickly get the answer. You know, Randy, are you seeking me? Are you really looking for me? It's kind of half-hearted. It's not with your whole heart. There's moments that I know that I have sought him with my whole heart and I have looked for him and I have had knockdown, drag out and look and search and pray and call and read and study and just poured everything in my heart literally to look for him. And then there's other moments that I call to him and I talk to him and I look to him, but I wasn't searching with my whole heart. It was kind of half-hearted. And I think from God looking at humanity, I think he understands that, but yet it doesn't mean that we settle and it's acceptable. To search him, for him to be the top search, as we look at all the indicators in our life, is he the top search? Is he the top website? And I don't mean on your computer. I'm using it as a parallel. You know, we looked at the top searches of the past and the present. But what about the personal? What is my top search? And I don't mean go to your computer and look what your top search is. I'm talking about all the things in our life that form down here in our soul, in our heart of hearts, in our attitude. All of these things. Are we searching? See, number one, are we really looking for him? I mean, one of the indicators is when we come here to church on a Sunday morning or Wednesday or whatever it is, and we come in, are we coming here searching and looking for him? Or are we coming here because I'm disciplined or obligated or this is what I do on this day and so I come here? And all those things are commendable and good, but do we come in with a heart ready to search for him? Like, I want to find you this morning. I want to look for you this morning. I want to know your presence this morning. Some way, somehow, something different, something driving me, some discipline that I'm going to express, some faith, some need, something that's going to move me where my whole heart is looking for you, Jesus. We search. You know, we're not really searching for him much if our Bible reading consists of what the preacher reads us on Sunday morning. And that's it. It's got to be daily thinking about him and looking at his word, remembering scripture, reading scripture. There's got to be something in my day where he's the top search. There's got to be something that I'm going over in my mind and spirit about his word. whether it's correcting me or disciplining me or giving me hope or giving me faith or giving me fuel, giving me something to remember that's going to help guide my mind and thought and how I process all the things that might develop and come at me or that I go through in a day, that somehow has he been the top search? Or is it just kind of, I'm a Christian and God knows I love him. And yeah, I could be closer, but, you know, that's all right. I got a lot going on. We all have a lot going on. Is he the top search? We know what the top searches are and what the world says by the internet stats. We know what the top search was in the past 2,000 years ago. Everybody was looking for the Messiah. And then when there were indications that he was showing up and it was time, everybody was disturbed and ready and looking and concerned. Well, I got to make it personal now because the Messiah is not being born another time. He came once and won to die for all. Now I got to make it personal. You see, it's interesting that when the Holy Spirit, because the wonderful part is, you know, the good shepherd, he goes out and looks for the lost, us, when we're lost. He goes and looks for us. He gets us. He tries to rescue us. He tries to get our attention. It's interesting that when the Holy Spirit is trying to convey the heart of God to us, for us, how much he loves us and cares for us, it's amazing how we search not for God, but we search for reasons not to love him. We search for reasons not to follow him. You know? There are people who live on that page. They're not searching for God, but God is searching and looking for them and trying to make himself known. But we search for reasons and arguments to not cooperate with God. I wonder if we could take that kind of diligence and turn it around and put it into an active search for him. To seek him first. To seek him first. It's not like we've got to wait for January 1 and make some New Year's resolution. But it is a time of year where people take evaluation. How did we do this last year? How did we do this last year financially? How did we do this last year this way? How did we, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, what about the new year? What are we going to do different? Hey, this is a great time for me to look at me and for you to look at you and say, what's my top search been? What all the records say in 2010? And how do I change what I need to change with God's help? That now Jesus, God, is my top search. My top seeking. That his kingdom, seek his kingdom first. How do I make that so? What do I need to do? Because we can complain about the church. Well, the church is getting, they're slacking and they're just kind of slowly trailing the world and following the world. And we can point the finger at the church and do all that. But let me just remind us. We're the church. Me. Not all the church. Me. What's my top search? What am I looking for? We sing things like, everything I need I find in him. Let him sustain you. Let him fuel you. Let him protect you. He sees your vulnerability. He sees where you're hurt. He sees what you don't have. Hey, you know what? Wouldn't it be great for us personally to not have Facebook as our top search, but have his book as our top search, where we find out God's status, where he writes on his wall, And we get to comment. We get to listen. We get to say, I like this comment. All you Facebookers, you understand what this is. Oh, you got six people who liked your comment or your status or whatever. And we throw out pictures. We get a picture here of who God is and what his status is and what's on his wall. And we get to go to his book. And that could be our top search. Listen, I was joking about hating Facebook, you know, after this morning and all that. I don't really hate it. I mean, I don't spend a lot of time on it, to be honest with you. But the point is that this would be, he would be our top search. Our top search. So this is not a message. Don't take it out of context. I'm not preaching against Facebook, and I'm not preaching against, you know, all these things. It's just the point of it. There's indicators that we are people who search. We always look for more. We look for something. We've got this, you know, restlessness in our soul. Listen, he satisfies. And as he satisfies, he continues to create more of an appetite for him. Here's the thing, and we've learned this a long time ago, and my wife, she's a great teacher of this principle because I've heard her talk about it over the years. Whatever we feed ourselves is what we begin to hunger for. And God satisfies, and if we search for him and we find him, it continues to create an appetite to look for him. But if we get away from searching for him, it doesn't create more of a desire to search for him. The appetite isn't fueled. Listen, the more of something that we do or we have or we eat, the more we want to do that thing. It's kind of this principle of who we are. What we feed ourselves is what we get hungry for. Listen, I had no craving for Ben and Jerry's Chunky Monkey. But with the whole process this last week of having the four wisdom teeth pulled out of my head, something soft was on the, and of course they have like little bits of walnut in them and little bits of chocolate. Terrible. My wife knows I like it, and she brought me a container of Chunky Monkey. She said, well, here's a plate. You can spit out the walnuts and the chocolate stuff. I thought, yeah, right. I just took small bites and chewed in front. I wasn't spitting any of that out. And the whole container was gone in one sitting. I was hungry. I was full. Afterwards, I was like, why did I do that? But the next day, I was thinking about Chunky Monkey. And I didn't say anything, but another container of Chunky Monkey showed up because my wife's good to me. And that one was gone in one sitting. I just had it twice. But now that I had it, I think about Chunky Monkey. It sounds goofy. It sounds crazy. But it's this principle of what we feed on and what we search for is what we gain an appetite for. And God, the more we search for him and the more we find him, it'll create an appetite. You're sitting here and you're saying, you know, that sounds really good, but I just don't have any desire. I don't have any drive to look. You discipline yourself. You start to search and you start to look and you start to find, and he starts to show himself and you get satisfied and you think, man, that's pretty good. And the next day, in the next couple of days, you start thinking, I want to go find out more about him, and I want to read that, and what about over here? And it's like Pastor and Chunky Monkey. What's your top search? And how we break our top searches that are out of line is we stop doing it and we start changing our diet and feeding ourselves something else. And at first, it's kind of a shock to the system, and it might be a challenge. But as you start to search, and you start to find, and you start to feed, it begins to change. It's just the same principle. We, some of us in this room, find ourselves saying, you know what, I feel so tangled up, and I have sentiment in my heart towards God, but I made these decisions, and now I can't undo it. I'm kind of trapped. I've made my bed. I've got to sleep in it. This is how it... It's the same thing. You started to feed yourself something. And you started to feed on something else that was outside of God's principles. And you're still kind of in touch with God, but you started to feed more on other stuff rather than search for God. He was no longer your top search. And all these little things. And all of a sudden, that's what you ate. And it's what fed you. And it's what you kept doing. And we go, why did I do that? I did the same thing. Because that's what we fed on. And now we find ourselves in the situation we're in. If we cease and start with his book as our top search and who he is, his kingdom, you can gain an appetite again. And he knows how to solve and undo all the stuff that we did. Jesus came for this reason. This is what's written in the New Testament. Jesus came for this reason, to undo the work of the devil. And we have found ourselves, when we don't have God as our top search, we get caught in his works, and we even contribute and partner with it little by little. We feed on it, and then we find ourselves in the circumstance we're in. God knows how to undo that work if we will make him our top search.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.